Well, good morning. Let's pray together. Our Father. It was Jesus who taught us to say, Our Father, we are grateful to know that we're in your care, a safe and secure place. Thank you so much. We've gathered here this morning because we want to hear from you, from your word. We know that your word brings life. So bring us to life this morning. Lead us out by your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, over the last few years, I've had the privilege of leading a course at St. Paul's Bloor Street called Intro to Jesus. The course is quite simple. Week by week, we gather around tables to build relationships, eat good food, and explore who Jesus is from the Bible. Now, I do some teaching in the course, but the bulk of our time is taken up in conversation together. We're like fellow travelers on an adventure, helping each other to be attentive and thoughtful as we explore. Now, each week, we focus on an episode from the Gospels, and we try to immerse ourselves in the story, paying attention not only to what Jesus says and does, but also to how he interacts with people from various walks of life. Every time we've gone on this journey, I found myself struck. There's this theme that runs through the narrative that's not what you'd expect. A theme that's very much in the keeping of the season of Advent. It's just this: the deep struggle to see Jesus for who he really is. Now, lots of people are drawn to Jesus, and some are sure that they know who he is and what he's up to, but there's always more than meets the eye. In a way, the gospel is like a mystery novel. How many of us enjoy a good mystery novel? My youngest daughter does. People have their hunches, and they sometimes piece a few things together, but no one has the complete picture before all is said and done, least of all ourselves as we read along. Now, the amazing thing is that Jesus doesn't intervene to solve the mystery once and for all. Instead, he moves from place to place in an atmosphere of intrigue. As he performs miracles of healing, his fame begins to grow. But he doesn't explain what he's up to in long lectures. He teaches and preaches, but indirectly through stories and examples and paradoxical sayings. He also poses questions. Now, even out of context, the questions that Jesus asks are startling. Here are a few of them. What do you seek? What do you want me to do for you? Where is your faith? You don't want to leave too, do you? Do you wish to be well? Do you love me? These aren't your typical sort of questions, the ones that we use in everyday conversation. Jesus isn't looking for answers that he doesn't already have. He's leading people to stop and wonder, right, what do I want? What am I seeking? Am I really wanting to be faithful? Do I really want to get well? Now, we tend to go through life as if we know the answer to those questions. We want what's good and right and true, after all, don't we? I wonder. Notice the question that we have in our gospel reading for today. Perhaps it stood out for you. What did you go out to the wilderness to see? This is another one of those probing questions that's meant to give pause. Jesus isn't confused about the behavior of the crowd. He's addressing them at the level of hope and desire. This is a question you ask when people are beginning to forget, when they're in danger of losing their way. So let's turn to our gospel passage this morning. It is on page 899, if you want to follow along here. I'm going to lead us through as best as I can. This is Matthew chapter 11, beginning at the second verse. Notice that Jesus is addressing two groups. On the one hand, there's John the Baptist and his disciples. We first meet John as a fiery preacher living in the desert, calling people to turn from sin and preparing the way for a mighty leader who would defeat Israel's enemies once and for all and set the world right. Not surprisingly, John runs into trouble for challenging the authority of the ruling powers. He's now in prison, and his disciples have come to ask Jesus if he's really the one that they've been waiting for. So, on the one hand, there's John and his disciples. On the other hand, there's the crowd who's been following Jesus. These are people who have witnessed his miracles and have followed Jesus from town to town, listening to his teaching and spreading news of his amazing deeds. Now, first, it might seem like Jesus is throwing the spotlight on John. And he is, in a way. John has played an important part, though he might be doubting it at this point. We can imagine John sitting in his prison cell, pondering his life's work, and wondering if he's really gotten it right. He had thought that Jesus would come. He thought that the Messiah would come in power and judgment. But Jesus isn't apparently interested in that. Instead, he's going around ministering to the poor, healing the sick, and eating with low-life tax collectors. This is puzzling, given his expectations. But Jesus is clear. John is a prophet, a messenger who has paved the way for God's coming. So Jesus is paying tribute to John. But he's doing way more than that. Most importantly, he's putting himself at the center of everything and then leading people to see who he really is. This might not be obvious for 21st century people like ourselves. It most likely wasn't obvious for the crowd on that particular day listening in. This is because Jesus takes his time and comes in on a strange angle. Notice how he interacts with the crowd. He brings them up short and takes them back to the beginning of their journey. What did you go out to the wilderness to see? Again, this is no ordinary question. On the surface, he seems to be inviting a simple response. Come on, Jesus. We went out to see John. You know that. But he's pressed in closer to engage with them at a deeper level. No. Who do you think John was? Who were you expecting him to be? As Jesus challenges the crowd in this way, we can imagine people standing there, looking at each other, staring and wondering. Maybe people like us. Yeah, what was that all about? Jesus presses in closer. Was he a bent reed swayed by the wind? Or were you expecting to see someone dressed in expensive clothes? No. In the remainder of the passage, Jesus fills in some of the blanks and leads more directly. You went out to see a prophet, but not just any prophet. John was the greatest and last in a long line of prophets who were all looking forward to the same thing. Now get this. All of them looking forward to God himself coming into the world to establish his kingdom and to make things right. This is a promise that Isaiah had announced in ancient times. We actually heard it in our reading for this morning. Be strong. Do not fear, says Isaiah. Your God will come. He will come to save you. Why did the crowd go out to the wilderness? Well, they went out to see God, of course. In the words of Isaiah, they went searching for streams in the desert and springs bubbling up from the thirsty ground. They were hoping to see the parched land break out in joy and the wilderness burst in bloom. They were looking for the splendor of God in his coming. Can we see what's going on here? It's actually quite amazing if we can slow down to get it. Jesus isn't just giving a history lesson or endorsing the work of a prophet. He's helping us to see, through the visionary dreams of the prophets, all the way down to himself. As if through a telescope, slowly coming into focus. Jesus is the one everyone's been waiting for. Not just as another prophet or messenger looking ahead, preparing the way, but as God himself drawing near to save. And beyond all expectation, this is what it looks like for God to show up. He doesn't come in fiery judgment like John and many others assumed. Instead, he's come to redeem and to bring new life in a very unexpected way. You have always been looking for me, Jesus is saying. Look no further. I'm right here, standing in your midst. Now, if only he had said that from the beginning. What a roundabout way to get to the main point. Why does Jesus teach like this? Why does he do this? Well, there are probably a few reasons. For one thing, it's risky to be clear and direct given the claims that Jesus is making about himself. And he has a long way to go before turning to the cross, and to Jerusalem and to the cross. More importantly, though, Jesus seeks to transform his listeners rather than merely inform them. And he does that by encouraging them to be actively involved in discernment and in relationship. Jesus teaches in a way that gets people immersed and invested from the outset, heart, soul, and mind. Now, we tend to think that complete understanding is necessary in order to act or change our behavior. This is particularly true in our own age, isn't it? Jesus takes a different approach. Jesus walks with people long before they know. He walks with them long before they know. And he does this because he's engaging with people in a personal encounter with the living God. So what about us? Gathered in this place here today, what are we hearing? I think that there are at least a couple of things that are important for us. Firstly, let's open ourselves to God in the way that he comes to us. Jesus' questions are meant for us too. We need to face this together, I think. It's a difficult truth about ourselves. It's possible to show up to a place like this, week after week, without opening our lives to God to receive from him. Like John, we can become disillusioned, holding too tightly to our expectations of the way that things should go. We can also get distracted, caught in the flow, failing to appreciate all that God is doing in our midst. This is particularly true of the season that we're in right now. We're building up to a celebration of the most important event in history, yet we can find ourselves run down and worn thin by all the business, can't we? It's easy to miss out right on the threshold of God's arrival. What did you go out to see? This is a question that reverberates down through the ages to this very place, here and now. What are we seeing? What am I seeing? Who would have thought that God would show up as a helpless baby in some hick town on the edge of the empire? Who would have guessed that he would be found in the fragile care of young refugees fleeing from a tyrant? Just think of it. What would that look like today? It's not too hard. It's not too hard to imagine, is it? Though it might be hard to accept. We need to slow down to let Jesus lead us, to shake our assumptions, to stir our hearts again, to bring us to himself. There's also this. Let's remember who Jesus is. It's so easy to forget. Jesus is the long-awaited king who has come to rescue and redeem and to set things right. John had that right. He is God with us. John had looked forward to it, but he struggled to see it in Jesus. The crowd had a different outlook entirely. They were more fascinated than expectant. Jesus confronted people at the center of all that, and he means to do the same with us today. Jesus is the one that we've all been waiting for. I'm reminded of a character in a poem by Robert Browning. Perhaps some of us enjoy poetry. I do. He's an educated man, a philosopher, a scientist, who has every reason to feel confident about his life, but is struggling with doubts and the difficult reality of death. He has come to the end of his rope. In a climactic moment of the poem, he expresses himself with raw honesty, and I think that we can probably all relate to this. If only God would reveal himself. If only he would show up in person to explain his plan and help us know how to live. If only. We need to hear this today. God has shown up and has revealed himself. He's come to dwell among us in person, and he has opened the way to new life through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We need look no further. At the very end of this chapter, chapter 11 in Matthew's gospel, Jesus renews the theme of seeing. It's hard for the wise to see, he says. People who think they know it all or have the power to define the truth for themselves. What's needed is humility and trust that we might be open and ready to respond. Why these qualities? Because the seeing that Jesus has in mind is about coming into relationship rather than merely taking in a spectacle. This is why Jesus ends with a simple invitation to come, just as we are, to find rest from our striving and to share in his love. I'm guessing that we're all in different places this morning. Some of us are cruising along, keeping up busy routines. Others are maybe tired and worn out, looking for a break. Can you relate? Maybe it's a combination of both as we find ourselves in this place today. Wherever we are, whatever state we're in, with all our hopes and our desires, even our misplaced expectations, let's stop and listen. Joining in with John and the crowd, let's look all the way to Jesus. He is here, even now, inviting us to himself. And these are his words at the end of this chapter of Matthew. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. As we continue looking to Jesus this morning, with our children leading the way in their pageant, which is going to be really exciting, may we have the freedom to receive God's grace together and to respond in joy and wonder. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do thank you for Jesus. You not only revealed yourself in Jesus, but you came close to us and identified with every little piece of our lives, all the way down. And you invite us to come to you through Jesus today. We know you are present here by your Spirit. We thank you for this. We are looking forward to the rest of this morning as we get to play. We get to play at all the good things that you've done for us in the coming of your Son. So we ask that you lead out before us now. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.